I could feel it. Woo! Start talking about tent revival miracles outpouring. True. We ain't got to wait. We're the temple. Oh, God, I feel this. Oh, God, I feel this. The Bible says that when you go into... Oh, Lord. When you go into your quiet place, into your room, who has their tallit with them? Who has their tallit with them? Anybody? Oh, y'all didn't bring it today? Oh, the tallit. Okay, look at here. Look at here. Oh, I don't have it. Is that a shawl? What is that? Maybe. There you go. There you go. There you go. Look here. Asking you shall receive that tallit. We'll make it a tallit. Okay, look. And no disrespect by you guys looking at me. Ooh, Pastor, that's sacrilegious. No, it's not. Okay, look. Ooh, I feel the anointing. I feel the anointing. When you get into the quiet place, you shut off the things of the world, the distraction. You come under the shadow of the wings of the Most High God. And when you're under the shadow of his wings, you are covered and you're protected. The fringes, somebody hold my mic. Hallelujah. Okay, all right. The fringes, my God, is the outer part of your covering, and it goes and it's pointing down. But what it's doing is reaching down to the very pits of your soul to bring healing into the things that are within your soul, that the grace of God begins to move upward to bring out what has been hidden. But see, what has been hidden and what is done in secret, God says, I will reveal to you in that quiet place, so that when you come out of your quiet place, you will be revealed by the glory of God. Oh, Jesus. Whatever you've been going through, whatever has made you feel like you're not being seen, here comes the word. Whatever you feel like I'm not being noticed, you're being revealed. You've been through a season, but when you get into the quiet place with God, this becomes the tent. Reminds me of Memo with the... His mind is all over the place right now. But you get into that place of a tent. Most of the revivals that I remember happened in a tent. Tent revivals. I remember going with my mama. I didn't know nothing about you. I was a little kid. I used to go and I used to play, run around with the other kids. But every time I would get near the tent, I'd be... I would start shaking, so I wouldn't go in. And then I would start running away with the kids. Start playing. I was a kid. But everything that I remember of the power of God happened in a tent, right? And I'm not talking about revival tents. I'm talking about your tent, your tabernacle, where God resides is in you. Whatever you're in need in, you grab hold of it from within. So the trick of, Lord Jesus, whatever the enemy's been doing is making you lose focus on the kingdom that is within. So when the body begins to manifest all kinds of sickness and disease, sometimes you can't see it from the outside. It's always on the inside. So within your tent, dig down deep and let the grace of God get right there and remove it. How do you remove something that's inside that you didn't know was there? God, reveal in the quiet place. Reveal in the quiet place. Then when it's revealed, it's exposed and it's removed. Amen? I'm telling you, I feel this thing. So there's a flyers back there. You're welcome to get it. Welcome to go, but we may just be walking in revival right now. We have to go out there in a tent. Let us walk around and release the kingdom of heaven right now. Amen? No, I mean, we do it. We walk around. We're the kingdom of heaven. We release it. The Bible says, if you abide in me, I abide in you. Did you see the if part? We go to, oh, he's going to abide in me. No, if you abide in him, he will.
That's right.
I can't get married to my wife and never see her. Never talked to her. Oh, but we're married. No, you ain't. A marriage is what you work at, right? A marriage is what you sacrifice for. A marriage is where you give unto one another unconditionally. So if we say we're abiding in him, then we must be given unconditionally to him. We already took up offering. You don't have to worry about that. I'm talking about you give to him, you worship, you praise. You give your time to him. Then he begins to abide in you. But when I received Jesus, he's there. But sometimes we close him off. And we don't allow him to be God in our life. The king. The one that is supreme, who reigns. He orders our steps. I thank God that I can be in a place where God says, you think you have everything. Look, I have 4 pages of notes for my sermon. I got it on my iPad just in case I want to go back and forth. The Lord says, stop all that. Let me do what I need to do. Amen. And when I do it, I'm going to do it my way. Not your way, not your way, but my way. And if you're asking for God's will, don't look at your will. We all pray, Lord, thy will be done. Keep your car away. Oh, Lord, what you talking about? You can't even talk. You start like Moses. You start stuttering. But when the reality is that the more you release your will to God and start doing the will of God, the will of God is not prayed for. The will of God is doing. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is doing what Christ said to do. We can't do it now because it's not the altar call yet. It's not the time to start ministering. We need to just wait. They're doing tithes and offering. If God wants to do it, he's going to do it any way he wants to. We have to be in that mindset, please. The kingdom of heaven is where? Here. Here. I can take it's at hand, right? Is it at hand? It's at hand. Then I just gave you the kingdom. 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 And the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the heart. I just gave you the kingdom. Not to worry. Not to fret. Be encouraged. For I am with you always. Always. We emit the kingdom of God. We release it. And when we release the kingdom of God, there's an end coming. The period right on it. That's the end. Stamped, sealed, over. In Jesus' name. Loose. Because he says, my children shall be set free, loosed once and for all. With the period at the end, nothing more afterwards. Done once and for all. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me give you a scripture for those of you who won't get mad at me. Say, well, he never quoted a scripture. He never gave us a scripture. I'm just going to give it to you. Give me a couple. Matter of fact, go to the last slide. Go to the last slide. Those of you in the back, I need you watching me. Last slide. I'll go to the announcement after a bit. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And then you can just either screenshot, a picture, whatever you want to do. Keep going. Keep going. See, I was going to make it easy for you in case you didn't bring a Bible. Right there. Turn these overhead lights off, Daddy, please. I'm sorry, I call my son Daddy. Somebody will look, who, Daddy? That's what I call him. Pastor, you're confusing. You said your daddy was Popo in the front. You call Daddy your son in the back? There's a reason for it. All right, listen. Take down these scriptures, and then I'm going to read the very beginning of the scripture that I have. But here is the verses that I want you to begin to meditate on. And when I say meditate on it, don't just go and read. I read them, Pastor. It's not for you to tell me. I'm not God. You read it, study it, and have an understanding what God's will is and why he wants us to operate in his will. Amen? All right. If we don't turn these lights on, everybody's going to fall asleep. Let us know when you have this, and then we'll turn the lights on. Okay? Romans 12, 2. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 10. Matthew 10, 1, and verses 7 through 8. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, verse 4, and verses 6 through 7. And Luke 12, 32. And when you have it written or pictured or whatever, you know, say amen. Amen. Okay, go ahead, Jonathan. When you're done back there, let's go ahead and turn on the lights. And we can leave it right there, Daddy, and we're good. Are we recording in the back? Amen. Well, I welcome you to the podcast. If you were not here at the service this morning, we did the altar call at the very beginning. God went forth and did healing, and he spoke in the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And I thank you, God, that you have ordained a set time for individuals that enter into your kingdom, O God, to release what you have in store for them. I thank you for it, God. Lord, this is your service. This is your house. We are here as a willing vessel. We ask that you speak to us, enlighten us, and have us do your will, not our will. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. And then we'll skip down to verse 9 through 13. Matthew 6, verse 6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." I tried to begin to start this message on Wednesday, and we went a whole different route. Some of you that were here on Wednesday, you birthed something in the spirit, or you had an understanding why you go through what you go through so quickly, so fast, one thing right after another. For the pressure is like that of the contractions prior to the birth. When you pray, go into your room. Whose room? Your room. Make it personal. Invite him into your room. Invite him into that place where you can be intimate with God. And once you get there, shut the door. Shut the door to distractions, and that means your mind. Shut the door to the distraction. To the Father who is unseen, he will begin to reveal himself and reward you what is done in secret. Verse 9, please. Go down to verse 9. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Here's what we are praying: "Thy kingdom come, your will be done." But if we don't know what his will is, then we will miss the very thing that God is saying for us to do. And I believe what he wanted to do is do a demonstration exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like. Do we have to wait to get to church to get prayed for? No. Do we have to wait until the anointing just fills the room and then we can't stand anymore and then that's when God's going to heal? Those are all fine, great, and dandy to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like that and begin to move by the glory of God. But you can do that right now, even with yourself. Then when you come together with people like mind, like spirit, in the presence of God, the corporate anointing begins to move even at a greater level. And I believe that this is what the Lord is saying, that this is my will, that the kingdom of heaven is here at hand. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. And this is what he's telling the disciples how to pray. He's telling them, my kingdom is coming. But pray that it's here. So then we go on later and we begin to understand that in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, I know he's speaking about not having clothes or food or whatever the case may be. But if we seek his kingdom and put that as priority, his kingdom, him, his kingdom, his reign, his authority, his abode, when we begin to seek that, what you're doing is stirring up the gifts, stirring up the anointing, and stirring up your faith. But if we go through and just go to church and see what the pastor's going to say, but never spend time with God, then you're never going to have the understanding of revelation of what is going to come across the pulpit. You have to prepare yourself. Now, I can't just say I'm going to be a doctor and just go into a surgery room and just be, okay, I'm next. I'm going to do surgery. You've got to prepare. And in that preparation comes tests. Right? Okay, so when you're preparing for the presence of God, the kingdom of God, you have got to prepare yourself. And preparing yourself isn't getting up in the morning and going making the cup of coffee. Is that the first thing you do? Hello? Hello? Because I would get up in the morning and I could already start tasting the coffee before I even made it. Get downstairs, like, oh, I made my coffee. Got the dog right through my legs, and I got the cat running through my legs. I'm about to fall over. The Lord says, you better start getting up in the morning and just sitting there and thinking about the kingdom of God. So I got to the point now where I roll my feet off of the bed and sit there. Now my little dog, Teddy, he sleeps right here by my bed. So when I get up, like, oh God, I'm going to get fed. I'm getting ready to eat. I'm going to eat. I know it's time to eat because you're up. I'm going to eat. So I'm waiting. He's just looking. His tail's wagging. And I'm still asleep. I'm trying to wake up. And I can hear him just shaking his head. You can hear the collar moving. He's so excited because I'm up. That's how God is. Oh, my baby's up. He's up. He's up. He's up. He even took coffee instead. Oh, he's up. Oh, he's going to spend time. He's going to watch TV. Oh, how about this one? This is going to get some of y'all, a lot of y'all. Get up. Get up in the morning. And God just waiting there the whole time. Just saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. I was waiting for you to get up so I could spend time with you. At the very beginning of the day, I spent time with you. Why are you reaching for your phone? Why are you reaching for something other than me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom. And all these other things will be added to you. And if you're running late, don't, oh, Lord, I don't want to go there because y'all, I got visitors in here. It's not always like this. Okay, it is. Listen, if you're running late to work, it ain't the devil, it's you. Yes, the snooze button could be the devil, but your body's already conditioned to get up before the alarm clock goes off. And you're up before, but then when it comes on, just a little bit longer, just a little bit. Get up. Let us not be asleep. Let us not slumber. But be vigilant after the kingdom of God. And I turn and I put my feet on the ground. And Teddy will come. And it's my dog, Teddy. And he'll just get right there. He's like, he's licking my toes. And I've gotten to the point where I don't really feel it. My mind is fixed on him. There's times my wife asks me, what time is it? And I don't hear her. And then I'm like, hi, what? And then I'll answer her. And then I'll go downstairs. And then as I'm going down, I begin to speak to the Lord. What do you have for me today? What is my plan for the day? What is my agenda? What do you have for me? And then I get to my coffee pot. I start making my coffee. And I'm still communing with God. And then when I get my first cup of coffee, some of y'all watch me have my coffee. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'll sit there on either the table or on the couch, and I get my coffee. I shut my eyes, and the aroma of the coffee comes, right? This is me. Just listen. It's just me. And when I smell the coffee, watch this. It begins to take me back to a place that reminds me of comfort. I remember a coffee pot that we used to have was a percolator. And it would percolate and it would make all this noise. But the aroma that filled the room. So when I was little, I used to get coffee from Grandma. It was mainly sugar and a whole bunch of cream. And so, but what would also be given to me was sweetbread. Sweetbread, from the little sis. Some of y'all don't know, but sweetbread. And so what I equated that cup of coffee with is bread being given to me. The word being given to me. Being wakened by the aroma of what he has instituted for the time for me and him. Okay? And it was great. It just gets to the point, I have my cup of coffee, and he would begin to just show me the things about me. Some of it were like, oh, God, why'd you show me that? And then you wind up not even drinking your coffee because he's showing you something so delicate. He says, if you seek me first, all these other things you desire will come to you. Seek me first. You know, we've heard it many times preached across the pulpits and on the internet, everywhere. Seek the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. You should be blessed to be a blessing. But the greatest blessing of all is having the presence and the relationship with God like never before. Amen. That's what it is. So that when you encounter that first person, it's usually not the one that's the cheerful one. Could be a boss that, what you all cheerful about? You know what? You're just going to work late today. Praise Jesus. You know how we try to respond. They walk in. I can't believe that. The enemy's going to try to steal your joy some way or another. Especially when you come down from being in the presence of God. But we have to seek his presence. Seek his kingdom, for it is at hand. Amen. If we spend that time and seek him first, what's going to wind up happening is you're going to begin to emit the kingdom of God. You're going to begin to do the will of God. And as you do the will of God, you're no longer just praying the will of God. You're doing it. Amen. Amen. We first must submit to God's will and do it. Romans 12, 2, it says this. It's not enough just to know the will of God. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. It's really a prayer of that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. The good and the perfect will of God. How many of you want the perfect will of God, or do you want the permissible? You want the perfect will. Because if you ask for your will to be done, he's going to allow you to do it so that you come into some mess. And then you'll turn around and say, I should have never. I told you. I tried to tell you, but you didn't want to spend time with me. It's simple. Now, we want the perfected will of God, and that will of God is to do what he called us to do on this earth for a reason. We are all purpose. We're not by accident. And if anybody's ever told you, you came and you weren't planned, he were planned way before the earth was ever formed. You were planned. If we were to do the perfect will of God, we wouldn't have these things. Unrest, frustration, unhappiness, a sense of powerlessness. But if you do the perfected will of God, you're walking in power. You're walking in rest. You're walking happy. You're moving about where you're supposed to be. Didn't mean you're in a different place. Your place, the kingdom, is right here. You're operating and walking in the kingdom. You understand? Frustration is going to come when you do something you're not supposed to be doing. You ever want to know if you're in the will of God? Check your frustration level. If you're frustrated and getting frustrated at everything, you might want to check if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's a clear indicator. But you don't understand. Which is, I don't need to understand. God understands. If you were to spend time with God some more, then you would understand too. He's trying to tell you all along, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Aye, Marty, why are you going to do it? Okay, go do it. I'll permit you to do it, but you're going to come crawling right back to me. Snot rolling out of your eyes and your nose. And you're like, oh, God. Why? Because you did something you wanted to do and not what God wanted you to do. He's telling his disciples that had been with him for 3 years, almost 3.5 years. Oh, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's not the Lord's prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. Pray this way. Give God honor and glory. Pray that his heaven, his kingdom comes. Because there's a lot of people living in a different kingdom. You must be the light. Oh, by the way, forgive those that have hurt you so that the Father can forgive you. Do you understand? Do you see it? I learned it in catechism, CCD, Catholic religion. I learned it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how I learned it. And then I would sing it all the time. I sing it all the time because I had to learn it by song, right? But then it was just a song. It was never a real prayer. I didn't understand it. And so I took the time later as I grew up. What does hallowed mean? I thought it was like Halloween. Hallow. Giving praise to the Lord. I started breaking it down, having an understanding. He says, this isn't a prayer that was for me. It was a prayer for you to have an understanding where you are. To have a relationship with me, you got to spend time with me. And as you spend time with me, I'll begin to reveal more things to you. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. The day you stop thinking that you need to learn, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. There's so much learning. Now, to accomplish God's plan, we have to understand what his plan is. And his plan is to reach the unreachable, touch the untouchable, love the unlovable. If the outward and the inward look of many Christians today were to be the will of God, we'd be constantly looking at those that are lost and getting them saved. Telling them about the kingdom of God. Many times we don't want to do it because, I don't know. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to go talk to them because they're not going to receive from me. You're not giving them you. You're giving them Jesus. You're not telling them about you. You're telling them about Jesus. Well, if I give them my testimony, yeah, you're telling the testimony of Jesus. It all goes right back to Jesus. Do you understand? So you can just get all that fear out of the way because he didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power and a sound mind. Amen? Which is in Colossians 1, verse 9 through 10, it says, and I'm going to start where it says, may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So to understand his plan is to understand him and to understand the knowledge of who he is and what he's called us to do. He says, on earth as it is in heaven, we need to know that as we're walking here on this earth, we are to release the very power of God and to release the spiritual gifts of God that are within us so that we can begin to impact this world because the kingdom of heaven is here. The glory of God is for you to operate in that will manifest his presence in many different ways. How many of you believe in God releasing something that is supernatural that will make you question whether it's him or not? I have looked at some things in my life and said, that's got to be God because there's no way. There is no way that could have taken place. That was definitely God. But then we also have to have the discernment to see when it's an imitation. Now, we begin to feel the fire of God begin to move and begin to move in the direction of healing, signs, and wonders. The enemy begins to move. Mirroring what God is doing, reflecting what God is doing, but it doesn't last. It's made of flesh. And not only that, it's just a copycat. Everybody's been hearing about revival coming to San Antonio, right? Everybody's heard about the fire of God being in San Antonio. Many churches have opened up in San Antonio because they've heard the Lord say, something's about to happen in San Antonio. Something's about to happen in San Antonio. Get down there. So pastors are shutting down churches where they're at. They're moving or they're opening up satellite churches in San Antonio. People are getting here not knowing what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. But one thing I do know for sure, it's not going to happen like it used to happen. Because then what we start doing is putting God in a box. It's got to happen this way, God. Because then it won't be you. It's got to happen this way, God, because then I'll know it's you. But what if God does something fresh and new that you haven't even seen before? What if he does something so different that it makes you question, was that God? I think that was the enemy because I saw people just rolling all over the place. And they were moving like snakes or their heads were spinning. I've seen that. in deliverance. And that's God setting someone free. But there's some other things. We may see people doing all kinds of things. We didn't even know what was going to happen. But there also may be a manifestation of his glory from heaven that is released here on earth. Now, we all have seen the things on YouTube or different ministries where they have a release of the gold dust or a release of oil, release of gemstones. What is that doing? Or the gold teeth or silver teeth, the fillings or teeth that were missing, they come. That's a demonstration of his glory, his kingdom. And what is his glory? It is the presence of God that manifests his grace for what is in need. And every sign makes you wonder to God. You understand? I told the Lord, if you want to manifest these kind of things in the ministry, amen. But that tells me we're going to keep doing what we are doing, and you're just blessing us because we're doing it. We don't worship anything that falls from heaven. We've seen many angels in here. And I don't worship angels. Do they work for us? Yes. If a feather falls, we've seen feathers fall. Are we worshiping the feather? Oh, I'm just going to put it up here so we can worship the feather because the feather came from heaven. No. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to point and say, God is releasing something from heaven. And there's a sign that's going to make us wonder, what is he telling us that's about to happen? If the silver and gold was to show up, some people say, oh, that's the enemy. That's a distraction. The Bible says the silver and gold is whose? The Lord's. If he wants to release it, he can release it. I told God, well, I put God to a test. Okay, I'm missing a tooth. I still pray it. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep on praying it. I'm going to keep on praying. God, you know, I ain't going to go to no dentist. I'm afraid of dentists. That's truth. That's truth. I don't like going to the dentist. But I said, God, you know my fear. I don't like dentists. I don't like needles. But I believe you can do it. And if you do it, I'm going to show everybody. So I'm gonna, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the supernatural creative miracle of a new tooth right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I check it. I do. Okay, so I keep on. I ain't gonna get mad at God. But what happens if you're in a service and all of a sudden the glory begins to show up and someone begins to scream, I got a tooth, and I didn't get one. Oh, wait a minute. If I'm not abiding in my quiet place with him, I could turn and say, well, that should have been mine. How come he didn't answer me? Right? Catherine Coleman would release so many signs and wonders with healings, but yet she was stricken with the disease. Yet people that would walk on stage, revivalists that released so many signs and wonders, but they were stricken with an issue. And it would not go. They would say it's like the Apostle Paul, who was like a thorn in the side. And to me, in my mind, we'll take the thorn out. That's the way I used to think. So I told God, I don't want to get to that place that your kingdom becomes so normal that I become complacent in it. Because, oh, okay, well, yeah, his presence is here, but he's supposed to because the Bible says so. You minimize his presence. And then if you're not excited for him, then what do you think he's going to do? He's just going to wait and do what you're doing. And somebody have such a hunger for God. They pull so much on God. God, I need you so bad right now. Something is going on in my life. I just trust you regardless. And you start worshiping. They start praising. They feel the presence. They start to allow the presence of God to begin to manifest and move in their life. And they receive a miracle. If we don't engage in the presence of God, you're just going through an experience. You're not going through an encounter. You want to go to church and encounter God. There's so many preachers that will preach the paint off the walls. We don't need another preacher. We don't need another prophet. We don't really even need another revivalist. Because a true revival continues to change the nature of the people and its surroundings. And if you don't see real change, they had an experience. But if you had an encounter, you don't come out the same. Just help me, Judge. Because if you go and have an experience, I've had some enchiladas that, woo, they were good. But I didn't have an encounter that says, this is going to change the way I see enchiladas. I will order me some more instead of going back to only the one place that I have enchiladas. Right? I make it trivial for a reason. Now, I went to this one place yesterday. Now, I'll say I had an encounter with some wings. I had an encounter with wings. They were so good. I ain't going nowhere else but there. Because I had an encounter. What am I trying to say? Is that it changes your appetite, what you didn't know you could have, that someone presented it to you in a different way, that you encountered something that you didn't think that you were going to enjoy. That it changes even your palate and what you're hungry for, that you want more of it. Oh, don't let me get started here. When you eat something spicy, it changes the palate, that anything that has pepper or spice in it becomes intensified. Oh, hear what I'm saying. When you encounter the presence of God, a true encounter, any presence of God is now intensified because you had an encounter. You want to have an encounter so that when you walk into a service or you walk into someone and the Spirit of God is standing right there saying, I need you right now to minister. You're already going to know you had an encounter with Him. You're going to feel His presence. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, hey, I feel the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. He embraced you. You embraced Him. You wrestled with God. I'm not leaving until you bless me. You may be broken. You may change your walk. You may never be the same again. But you had an encounter. And now everything about you begins to change. You're no longer a deceiver. You're now called Israel. And you're changing and bringing hope to somebody. Because you had an encounter. When you have an encounter. No one can take that encounter away from you. No one can ever say, God ain't real. He ain't real to you because you haven't encountered Him. You only had an experience going to church. I went to church my whole life. I can tell you when I got saved. The day I encountered a miracle from God concerning life with my son. And when that happened, I really gave my life over to Jesus. It's no longer my will. It's whatever your will is. If you want me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to question it. I questioned it. I did. But I still did it. We all question God. Wait a minute. That's our natural instinct. He's trying to get us to that place where everything is walk on water. Okay. I'm going to do it. Think I'm kidding? When I go to the pool? I try it. If Peter did it, I'm going to try it. Come into the kingdom with childlike faith. You know why a child can see the spiritual realm so easy? They believe. That's an angel. I know, I see it all the time. They come into my room and they talk to me, they fly around, they talk to me, they read me stories, they tell me. Why? Because their mind is not filtering what this world is saying, that we can only have a limited God. When we get to heaven, how many of you are waiting for the rapture? I'm out of here when it comes. How many? Waiting. I can't wait for the rapture. I'm out of here when it comes, right? How many? Come on. Come on. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Uh-uh. We need to occupy till He comes and establish the kingdom here. You see, there's people are still looking to get up out of this place. And God is saying, why do you want to leave? I'm only going to bring you right back. He is going to establish the kingdom of heaven here. We're all looking, oh, get us out of here. Oh, it's so bad here. I can't wait till Jesus comes. You're the one that changes things. You're the one that can change this atmosphere. You're the one that can change the legislature. You can change presidents.
Spirit of God went,
hold up now. We are here to change and make change. He says, occupy till I come. What does occupy mean? Take ownership, take dominion. Take back what has been taken from us. Take it back. When you have an encounter, the devil ain't going to come and mess with you. He may send demons to influence you. But the devil himself, he's more worried about someone saving millions of souls than coming and messing with you. He's going to send a little demon. Go, just bring all kinds of havoc to them. But when you have an encounter, you'll see it for what it is. You came to me? Oh, hold up. You think because you're a demon that I'm going to give up my God? You don't even know. I will squash you. Hallelujah. The Bible says when you get to heaven, you're going to see him. There's nothing but a little worm. That's the devil. A little worm. You know what I do with worms? I put them on a hook. Catch fish. You ain't worried about that. My God is bigger. My God is inside of me. I'm not looking to, when I get to the throne of God, I am in him. The throne of God is right here. The kingdom of heaven is right here. Wait, look. Come on. Bring me a glory, God. Bring me a glory. God's like, I'm right here. I'm sure God, the way he is with me, he's, what are you looking up at? I'm looking for God. Talking to him the whole time, waiting for God to come. God's right here. Yeah, me too. I've been here. I've been here with you all along. Why are you keeping me in a box? Release me. Oh, but I'm scared to talk to people. I don't know. Talk to them. Talk to them. You know, this honest truth right here. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling myself. Before I became a pastor, it's the honest truth. I had this conversation, I think, with my daughter. And my other daughter, Paisley. So before I became a pastor, I could talk to anybody in the street. Anybody. I became a pastor, I became an introvert. I have a hard time talking with people. You think, really? You talk for a living. Yeah, but I get to leave, put it down, and I don't have to talk to anybody anymore. I became an introvert, and I said, God, that's not me. That is not me. Help me break this mold. You know what he told me? He says, you allow what people think about you, frame you, and put you in a box. I said, well, I don't like this box. He says, neither do I. Because God and the Holy Spirit have been put in a box, and he can only do what the people say he can do. I said, no, that's not right, God. He says, no, we need to turn the church upside down. So that the ones that are leading are the ones pushing up. Making the people get up and do what they're supposed to do. We've had it backwards. This is the head. See, look, I'm the head, Christ. If Christ is the head of the church, where's Christ residing? Where? Inside of you. Inside of you. So the job in this house, I can tell you, is to get you up. Get you doing what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you came from a different ministry or a different church someplace that you're going to clean the restrooms and you'll be more, you know, maybe a minister, maybe an armor bearer. And then about after 3 years, then you go through your seminary class and then we may get you up to ministry. If I see the gift of God in you, you best guarantee that you're going to be up here doing tithes and offering just to get you comfortable speaking in front of people. Then after that, whatever I see that God is saying to cultivate, that's what I'm going to cultivate. Because I'm a kingdom builder. I believe in the kingdom of God. It's not my kingdom, it's his. He says, I want you to be my project manager. I have a project. Go manage it. What's the project, God? Release the kingdom. Don't worry, there's no set time. Just keep doing it. I'll come visit from time to time to see if we make our mile markers. Sweet God. We're going to have an encounter with you. It says the people let me. I don't know about you, but I don't want the people to get out without having an encounter with God. It's up to you. It's up to you. I pray that you hear that the heart of this is that the kingdom of heaven is here. It is at hand. It is you. Represent his kingdom. Said it very well. If you're out there sowing bitterness and hatred, that's what you're going to get. That's the principle of the kingdom of heaven. Some people want to call it karma. Put seed in the ground. You don't have to wonder what's coming back up. It's not karma. It's what you put in is what you get out. Amen? So I want you to put into the kingdom what he's put inside of you. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. Sow into the kingdom of God. I don't mean your money, I mean your time, your efforts, everything that he's telling you to do, be obedient. One of the first commands that he tells us to do is to love your neighbor. Like you're supposed to love God. But if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? And if you don't love yourself, how are you really loving God? People say, well, I'm not perfect. Thank you. Neither am I. I've not seen anyone that's been perfect in this world other than Jesus Christ himself. That's it. We can't live up to that standard. Can we try? We'll try. Are we going to be able to do it? We're going to fall. We're going to stumble and get up. But upset because we didn't make it. Thank you, Jesus. We have a God that loves us so much that he comes in. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet if you would, please. I want to close with this prayer. Stop recording that.